Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alongside Brandon Scott, Sean Bajani, Sports Radio 610 in the Loop, and for Landry Locker, John Lopez, 713-572-4610. If you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on Twitch and YouTube as well. We've got the chats open there.
Check your bars though on your phone though. Make sure you got some reception. You know,
yeah.
For audio quality, production quality, make sure you got that reception going, man.
It'll be there. It's good. We make it better too. Xavien Howard, like day one, immediate linkage to the Houston Texans. And I say this kind of tug in cheek, but then again, I don't, because when it happens, it happens. Laremy Tunsil was, you know, having some fun on Twitter when this free agency conversation started to really heat up over the course of the last week and a half. And I'm trying to remember what he did. I think he did like the Derek Stingley plus Xavien Howard. And then like the emoji, if I'm remembering right, it was the one with like the smoke coming out of the nose.
Yeah.
I think that was his response on Twitter. Anytime Laremy Tunsil seems to endorse something, it generally happens, with the Houston Texans. Said CJ Stroud, QB1, literally like the next day after he was drafted, like, that's my QB, with the number one emoji, I think it was, on IG. I love that stuff. And
By the way, didn't know Davis Mills' name his rookie year. That did happen.
Did anybody know who Davis Mills was his rookie year, if we're being honest?
I'm just saying, he didn't know him. That was his team. We knew who he was. We in the media. That's his own teammate. He didn't know who he was.
You know, that is a thing, though, where guys in the same locker room don't necessarily know a lot or much of anything about their teammates. You know, they break them off into position groups. And that was one of the things that D'Amico Ryans wanted to kind of negate, get rid of.
Yeah. He was a notorious crossover guy as a defensive player, like to meet in the offensive meeting rooms and kind of cross bridges, so to speak.
Yeah. He's jumbled up the seating arrangement in the locker room for what we typically know it to be, where it's like, okay, your offensive linemen are in this section, your D linemen are here.
Like a modern
kind of sticks together.
Like a modern day Remember the Titans type of thing. Remember that scene where they had to mix the offensive and defensive players? Because, you know, they were really split up off of by race.
Yeah, sure.
Right? The black guys were on one bus and the white guys were on another bus. And it's like, nah, whatever side of the ball you're gonna be on, that's what you're sitting with. So yeah, it's kinda like that. Kinda got that vibe.
I like it. And getting back to the Xavien Howard thing, I like that dude a lot, because I think that would offer the Texans something in which they haven't addressed yet, by way of finding a way to replace Steven Nelson, either with Steven Nelson himself or another starting level, high level corner to go next to Derek Stingley. You know, they signed Jeff Okuda, who has 24 starts in the NFL combined the last two seasons, but a little bit problematic in that the Lions moved off of him for, you know, various reasons, I would imagine, because they took him number three overall once upon a time ago. Yep. And then he was benched by the Falcons towards the end of the season last year for another up-and-coming rookie cornerback. So I think a lot of unleashed potential exists for a guy like Jeff Okuda, which is cool. You know, you can't ever have too many good corners on a team. We saw how valuable it was last season for the Texans You realized very quickly that you needed depth there when you had to trot out D'Angelo Ross, and he ensued to get barbecued, kind of like Tavier Thomas did.
Ended up having to go back and get Desmond King in the slot after you had let him go, but you again, you mentioned Tavier Thomas, but you just didn't have necessarily enough there in that room.
You didn't, and you look, you went out and got Adrian Amos, who played a key role for you down the stretch. DeAndre Houston Carson was very good for you.
Your safeties,
down the stretch in the safety role. And that was huge after losing MJ Stewart and Eric Murray, I think week six and week eight respectively, during last season. So the ability for the Texans to go out and in a pinch, like find good quality guys, plug them into this defense as at least it stood last year, that was really impressive. And another reason why I thought Nick Caserio should have gotten executive of the year, but maybe he gets it in this next year if he continues to make some savvy moves and they continue to stack good quality depth. I think that's what they've done, but a starter has not emerged in the secondary, at least to replace Steven Nelson at corner.
Yeah, so there's no disputing that Xavien Howard has the better resume and body of work of anybody that the Texans have brought in. And honestly, of anybody that they could bring in at this point, absent of some kind of like, you know, trade that we can't predict right now that, you know, probably doesn't even make sense. So like all of the realistic possibilities, he's the best of what they've done and or could do. I think we can acknowledge that. But, and I think that's positive on Xavien Howard's side. It's like, hey, you are who you are, you know, former All-Pro, an accomplished player. But everything you just laid out, they've already signed Jeff Okuda. They brought in Mike Ford from the Browns, I think.
Good special teams player, too.
Yeah. But then even more recently is this C.J. Henderson thing that happened with the former Panthers cornerback. Really, if I remember him more, I don't have any recollection of this guy in the pros, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I remember when he played at Florida.
I knew the name.
Oh, I know the name from Florida. I remember him from college, and I remember him being a high draft pick. I have not committed anything to memory that he's done since he's been in the NFL. But, and I'm just being straight up about that. But I say all that to say, between Jeff Okuda and C.J. Henderson, you're talking about two former first-round pick.
Top 10 players.
Top 10 guys. Cornerbacks, recent guys that were picked, and then Xavien Howard, who's got the actual NFL resume. He should be, on paper, I would say, the better player, but it's taken him the longest to get signed. And so what am I to make of that? Like the clear best player that they could go get with local ties from Houston is Xavien Howard. They could have been signed him a week or two ago. Whereas the guys that they've actually gone out and gotten were Jeff Okuda and C.J. Henderson. What am I supposed to make of them having some level of priority on those guys over Xavien Howard, or just those guys getting in the building first? That all of it tells me that the interest in Xavien Howard would have to be minimal, if anything.
Maybe.
That's the feeling.
But I'll respond with this question, because I feel like if you go look at the secondary market in free agency, at last glance, I would say, B. Scott, that maybe is the deepest that still currently exists in free agency, is the quality at both safety. I hesitate to say corner because I haven't looked at it in a week or so. And I know the Texans haven't necessarily been active in that regard since the first couple of days. They get Henderson yesterday, but, you know, okay, he wasn't one of the most highly sought after corners on the market. I just wonder if you're a corner, if you're a safety, at least as it goes this year, maybe it typically is this way. That's maybe one of the last position groups to kind of be plucked.
Maybe.
And you know, have that market dried up in free agency. I mean, it was just a handful of days ago, right? One of the top safeties was still on the board.
Yeah.
And they had since signed, right? Was it Justin Jefferson?
Well, Justin Jefferson. Not Justin.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Jeffrey Simmons is the D lineman. You're talking about Justin Simmons.
Justin.
You mixed Justin Jefferson mixed and Jeffrey Simmons. But yeah.
Justin Simmons, right?
Yeah.
It was him, and there was another really good top safety that was available who might actually still be there.
Yeah, but I mean,
Diggs.
No, not Diggs. The other guy. I thought his last name started with an O. I have to look it up.
Well, I mean, either way, I think that the Texans feel like they or seem like they are not in that safety market. So I wasn't surprised to see that they didn't go after one of those guys.
Yeah, not a top of the line guy, but you need like a good veteran. I think somebody I think to come in and start for you, because I don't believe in Jimmy Ward as a starter anymore.
I believe him
as a good player. I don't believe him as a starter anymore. Yeah, he just hasn't been healthy the last couple of years, and really throughout his career.
Jimmy Ward is going to be the ultimate trust D'Amico and D'Amico we trust sort of experiment, because that's D'Amico's guy. Now, we'll see how things play out in training camp and, of course, the season if he makes it through that. But, I mean, that's a D'Amico guy from a leadership standpoint and from a play standpoint. I'm with you, just to be clear. I agree with you. I think that there needs to be some serious thought on how much can we rely on Jimmy Ward, and if the answer is not to our liking, what's the level of urgency to go out there and find somebody that we can rely on, find somebody that we can replace him with. And given the uniqueness of this safety market, the fact that you did have guys like Simmons and Quandre Diggs, high-level safeties on the market, Eddie Jackson, like you've had some guys on the market out there that you probably should have taken a look at given the health situation and, honestly, some of the underperformance that you got from that position last year.
Did Diggs sign yet? I don't think so. I'm looking at the Spotrac right now. I thought he did, but he's still available. Guys that are still available.
I feel like the safety market is kind of slow right now, man.
Yeah, Jamal Adams still available. Justin Simmons still available.
I'm being honest.
Andre Diggs, Micah Hyde.
I hadn't really heard any news about the safety market. Whenever everybody was getting released, was this big topic, this big story, and then it died. Like, I don't. You're asking, did these guys sign? Where did they go? No one has said anything about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those no news kind of situations. Like, I feel like if they had, we'd know about it.
Xavien Howard, Adoree Jackson, Cameron Sutton.
Poyer's still out there, I think. Or did he sign? Did Jordan Poyer sign with Miami? Where did Jordan Poyer go?
I thought Poyer did.
He might have.
I'm not seeing him on this list right now. But, I mean, there's some pretty good ones. Maybe that's...
Yeah, he's with the Dolphins now.
Maybe that's one of the ones lastly to kind of come off, because, you know, teams look at the draft, and maybe that's one of those positions where they feel like, you know, if there's anybody that can come in and be a plug and play guy, it's typically going to be maybe whether it's safety or corner. And so you're weighing your options before you're deciding to spend big time money on a free agent.
Yeah. I just like on the Xavien Howard thing, I like how the Texans whichever direction they go in with Xavien Howard, whether they show no interest and don't sign him or if they do bring him in, I like the strategy that they've taken this offseason with the cornerbacks between Jeff Okuda and now CJ Henderson. And then if you add Xavien Howard into that mix, they're going toward the high ceiling, you know, formerly highly touted type of guy. Like the overall talent accumulation in that position group, in that room specifically, really on the defensive side of the ball overall, because we talk about some of their guys. I know we were talking about Khalil Davis earlier, but like even a Derek Barnett, you know, kind of a diamond in the rough, so to speak.
Somebody that took a while, but I'm glad they brought that dude back.
Yeah, it took a while, and it took him a while, I think, to sort of emerge. Like, he fell out of favor in Philadelphia for whatever reason or another. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about high upside, high talent draft picks that you're bringing in at low cost, so at low risk, and just rolling the dice out there. Like, if you're telling me, hey, we're bringing in Xavien Howard to for sure be our second corner, and we're relying on this guy, and we're going to pay him a decent signing bonus, and we're going to really invest, I'm going to look and say, oh, okay, maybe y'all are seeing more from Xavien Howard in recent years than others have, than the rest of the league has, and certainly than I have. But this low-risk thing that they've been doing, this roll of the dice, let's give Jeff Okuda $4.5 million or $5, whatever it was. Let's sign C.J. Henderson well into free agency. Let's wait until Xavien Howard goes on every podcast that he can to tell people about how much he loves being from Houston and how he wants to play for the Texans, and he's got Texans and Rockets and that, or whatever, Houston sports tattoos on him and all this kind of stuff. Like, let's wait till he sells himself out for being the Houston native that he is, and then bring him in.
Has he followed C.J. Stroud, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and Alex Bregman on IG like everybody else has?
Oh, see, but that's what he's
that hasn't signed with the Texans.
But see, that's what he's trying to tell you. And we can relate to this as native Houstonians, Sean. Peep what Xavier Howard is basically trying to tell you. I don't need to follow all of these cats for y'all to know that I'm in the Houston. I am Houston.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I'm from the nickel. I'm from Fifth Ward. I'm from Wheatley. You know what I mean? I don't got to follow. I'll be Houston.
Said.
I was Houston before these cats, and I'll be Houston after they gone. So that's Xavier Howard's point. It is kind of like a man without a country right now, so he wants to go home.
Text message, Jordan Poyer is the one who went to Miami at safety, just recently signed. So thank you for that, texter. Another one asking, is Kareem Jackson still on the team? No, he's a free agent, 35-year-old free agent safety. That's a guy I wouldn't mind bringing back if I'm the Texans, to be honest with you.
For depth?
Yeah, I mean, look, you didn't really get a chance to see anything from him. He played sparingly once he was eligible to play again last year after coming off of the suspension and joining the Texans. But I like the physicality. I think he kind of fits really well within the culture of the way that D'Amico Ryans and the Texans want to play defensively. I even thought that last year. I really liked it because of what Perryman brought, the way that he was playing. You could see that defensive front becoming nastier and nastier as the season had went along, and he fits that mold. I think you and I probably had the conversation, you know, we wouldn't necessarily hate the Texans owning that moniker as, you know, maybe one of the dirtier teams or most feared defenses, if you want to put it very lightly, in the league. And I would love that. I think that's ultimately the goal.
I definitely want them to be more feared or to feel this physicality is a part of the team that hasn't felt like it was a part of the team for a while. But I will say on the Kareem Jackson thing, I am slowly, and the three of us, Figgy, Sean, the three of us as guys born in the 80s, I am slowly moving toward not really wanting guys on my football team that were born in the 80s. And I'm born in the back end. I'm 89. But, you know, Kareem Jackson's born in 1988.
Okay.
I feel like we got to reach a point, guys. This ain't baseball. Okay, and it ain't basketball where LeBron is still killing things and Jeff Green is handling it for the Houston Rockets.
Damn, man.
You know, like, you know.
Trying to kill us 80s.
When they start getting our age, starting to wrap it up a little bit.
Yeah, man, like John Weeks is one thing.
Jerry Hughes was a very productive football player.
Jerry Hughes is another.
Should have brung him back then, huh?
Case Keenum. You know, like, I like having some of these guys born in the 80s, but I do feel like the further and further we get from the 80s, the less and less we need to be bringing guys like that in positions where you got to run and
start looking in the 90s, 2000s.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
As fellas born in the 80s, we understand what their bodies must be going through without the NFL toll.
I get it. When your coordinators are younger than you are, it's probably time to.
We catching up to the coordinators.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, we might even.
Catching up to the head coaches.
This is ages, but I feel like I can do it because I am the age that we're talking about. I feel like we need a quota or a, what's the opposite of a quota? Like a maximum number of.
Yeah, you need a ceiling.
A ceiling of eight of guys born in the 80s that you can have on your team. I'm sorry. And maybe Kareem's the one. But you already got John Weeks.
You know, don't talk to me about age when you have a guy who's got a starting role right there already in Jimmy Ward. He's a little older, too. He's going to be 33, 34, I think.
Yeah, born in the 90s, but might as well be born in the 80s.
But the guy isn't playing as much as you need him to play. You had legit six games with him and Jalen Petrie and Derek Stingley and Steven Nelson all together last season. What you felt really good about, that you could say, hey, I'm going to hang my hat on this group. That wasn't a lot, and you needed much, much more than that. I'm not willing to necessarily bet you're going to get it this year either.
The 832 wants to bring in Howard to play safety. I don't know if he's played safety, but it's an idea to spin around.
I mean, since the Texans are in this exploratory mode that they seem to be at least on the front, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily kick that out of bed on the back end either in the secondary.
Yeah, I mean,
all these DNs they're signing maybe to potentially play inside too.
Yeah.
713-572-4610, 572-4610. He's B. Scott, Sean Bajani. You want to be a part of the show, you can hit us up. Coming up next, the internet going nuts. We've got an album, we've got gambling, and we've got, well, just a flat-out embarrassment. That's next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I got the internet going nuts.
B. Scott Bajani in for Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig still here. Time for internet going nuts, and man, a lot of things heating up in regards to John Calipari and his Kentucky Wildcats getting bounced yesterday by Oakland. Not the Oakland, California version, not the Oakland suburb of Rochester, New York version, but the Oakland where? Where is this school?
Detroit, man.
Detroit.
Right outside the Auburn Hills.
Yeah, they pulled the 14-3 upset last night with an 80-76 victory over Kentucky. And here's what Calipari sounded like immediately after the loss, fresh off the court.
And but, you know, we had some guys that didn't play the way they'd been playing all year. We did everything we could. We knew the zone would be tough, but we miss shots we don't miss. And, you know, the preparation, I thought they were in a great, trying to keep them loose. But when the game started, you had some guys not play to the level they could play.
So I'm looking all over social today, and it's like, Calipari threw his team under the bus. You know, people calling for his head. He's been at Kentucky since 2009. I was just looking at that. I feel like it's actually been longer. Feels like he's been there forever. Man, it's a good long run.
Look at all the people we coached.
Yeah,
all the players.
He's coached a lot of really good ones, and he's coached a lot of really good players since the last time he made a Final Four appearance, which has been since 2015. He had that good run. 2008, 2011, 2012, 2014, 2015. It's been a little bit, like 9 years since he's been to a Final Four. And I don't think it was actually a net cut, but maybe it was like a statement that he'd said before that where he's like, you know, I really thought this team had what it took to be in this moment. And clearly they didn't, or did they not have it in the coach?
Yeah, I was going to say, and I bet you if you put some truth serum, inject some truth serum into some of those players that he's saying didn't show up and play to the level that they could play at, I bet you they might tell you, hey, man, we thought we had a high-level coach that could get us past an Oakland, We thought we had one of the better coaches in all of college basketball that could get us prepared, that could make the adjustments, that could take a more talented team and get them past an inferior team in terms of talent. But they didn't have the coach that could do that. So, yeah, like what do you do when a more talented group loses to a lesser talented group? Where does the blame lie? I know you got to put the blame ultimately at players' feet because they're the ones that play the game. But if I got more talent than you and you beat me, that to me says that I did something wrong. Somewhere I did not deploy my more talented pieces in the most effective way, in a way that could win the game.
I mean, to me, that's a very difficult question to ask on the surface. You know, where look and see how this season went for Kentucky. Look and see how that game went last night for them.
Yeah, I mean, it was the only reason why I was as close as it was because they had some amazing players making some ridiculous shots, bailing them out, horrible possessions. But
if
like,
you're
the more talented dude can just hit the step back three, and there we go, it's still a game.
But if you're putting guys in position, you know, to make the shots that they typically make, like as he was breaking down in the post game, like I don't know what else you're asking a coach to do other than put your best players in a position to be successful. And if they're not making shots, they're not making shots. Now, maybe it's, you know what, they should have played with a little bit more urgency. They should have maybe been more reactive, not reactive, but they should have forced the issue a little bit more on defense and made the other team speed up their thinking, speed up their actions, get them out of their rhythm, because in no way, shape, or form should Oakland be in the same zip code in the first round of an NCAA tournament game like they were last night. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Especially when we don't even know what damn zip code they play in.
I mean, what I mean by it is...
No, like, I know.
You know what I mean? It's...
Yeah. I think the easy answer to say is he got outcoached. That's probably the easiest answer. When a team like this beat a big school like this, he got outcoached.
Yeah.
It's weird because I didn't look at that game last night and I'm not thinking to myself like, dang, what are they doing? They just weren't hitting shots, you know? And I wanted to see like them force the issue a little bit more defensively. And maybe that's it. Maybe that's where the players would kind of come and say, you know, hey, yeah, we should have changed some things up, but I don't know. It's going to be an interesting follow to see if Kentucky makes a decision on their head coach versus the changes that he's talking about making.
Yeah, and there's just too many examples now of them underachieving when it mattered the most. He always has some of the best recruits, some of the best teams, and he's got one championship to show for it. And he's really losing too early in the tournament for the amount of talent that he has.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Up next on
I got the internet going nuts.
Internet going nuts. Figgy, you pointed this one out. You and B. Scott are pretty pumped up about this. Future and Metro Boomin.
Yeah, man. Album. They got the internet going nuts, man. I woke up to a Metro Boomin and Future album. And the first thing I seen was Kendrick Lamar. taking shots at Drake and J. Cole.
But he's on the album.
Yeah, he's actually on the album, yeah. He's not listed on the album, but so I guess it was kind of like a surprise. But he's taking shots. Not only is he taking shots at J. Cole and Drake, but Future is actually taking shots at Drake, which was the real surprising part.
Because they've made a lot of music together, made a lot of hits together. So with Future opening up the album with taking shots at Drake, like some of the first few lines are very clear headshots at Drake. It's like, hey, I don't think anybody knew. Did anybody know or suspect, Figgy, that there was even a beef there?
It was a little bit of rumblings because, so little backstory, Future and Drake had an album called What a Time to Be Alive. And it was rumors that it was a part two coming, but it never happened. And they had a couple other songs together, but you start hearing more of it once Drake dropped the album with 21 Savage.
Yeah.
So at that point, people was kind of questioning, are they on the same page? Are they still cool and all that stuff? So now this is kind of confirmed.
Yeah,
that it was some type of issues going on.
And then another big thing, too, with Kendrick Lamar being involved in it is that, like, Drake and J. Cole came together for a song that basically, in the song, to kind of declare themselves as the big three, the two of them, along with Kendrick Lamar. And Kendrick Lamar is coming out like, man, don't associate me with you chumps.
Yeah, and I think that kind of been, it been more of a friendly competition with those three, too. And this was back in the day because they all had songs together. But now it's kind of like Kendrick is saying, I'm that dog. I'm the best. And it been little shots going back and forth in songs.
Does this hype up the album? Like, is this like more of a gimmick than anything else?
That's a good question.
You know what I mean?
I think so. I think it hype it up for non-fans, so people that probably didn't really care for a Future album.
Yeah,
I think they'd go and listen to it now. But
that was my first
I think
song.
A lot of people were excited about Future dropping the album with Metro Boomin anyway. Yeah. I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Regardless.
For sure, for sure.
Okay, up next.
I got the internet going nuts.
This could be huge. I don't know how big it is yet because anything that J.J. Watt does seems to usually have legs and it can spawn into anything. And sometimes he can be, you know, kind of cynical, I guess, and you never really know what to make of certain things that J.J.'s doing in his other ventures away from the football field. But I saw this Twitter post earlier today. It says, quote, following in the footsteps of John Madden and Bob Uecker is a very tall task, but one I'm honored to attempt. Having grown up in Wisconsin, I'm keenly aware of the great taste versus less filling debate. Time to assemble the Miller Lite All-Stars once again. And it's a new ad campaign featuring J.J. Watt, and it looks to me like it's the introduction to J.J. Watt becoming the new pitchman for Miller Lite.
Yeah.
This could be huge.
Yeah, I think it could be huge. Way better. It sounds like a way better gig than having to sit up there with Bill Cowher and Phil Sims, you know, every Sunday. And he didn't even take that job seriously because I didn't see JJ there every Sunday. He was just there when he felt like it. It seems right?
Yeah.
This seems like a much better gig. I did not put together until, you know, obviously he's pitching it the way he is that, you know, Wisconsin, Miller Lite, it just works. It works perfectly. It's like
the commercial's good, by the way, if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I retweeted it. So check it out at Sean Bajani.
But yeah, he was sitting there drinking Miller Lite, watching some tape on John Madden. Like, he was the broadcaster and all that stuff.
It was the tape. Like, you know, the guy that delivers the tape to him, he's like, are you J.J. Watt? And he's like, yeah. He goes, I'm so-and-so, and he's like, from 1975. Or, I've had this tape since 1975. And he goes, what are you, a time traveler? And he goes, no, I'm an actor. Here. And he gives him the tape, and he pops it in. But it's all the old Miller Lite commercials with John Madden and Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
Stuff that you and I grew up on, like, watching on TV. So it'd be cool if JJ does that and becomes, like, the face of a major brand like that for the next 20 years. It'd be cool.
The only way you go up to J.J. Watt and ask him if he's J.J. Watt is if you are from 1975.
Yeah. Yes.
And the guy actually said, are you Justin James?
Justin James Watt. Yes. Yes, I am. All right. That's going to do it for Internet Going Nuts. Coming up next, we'll play the hits. We've got a lot of local action going on and even some of the international variety. We'll have it for you next at Sports Radio 610.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Playing all the hits, these are the hot stories of the day.
You're listening to In the Loop
with Houston's sports leader,
Sports Radio 610.
B. Scott, the Cougs get it going later on this evening. Tip off against Longwood for round one for them in the NCAA tournament. Tip off set for 8:20. Cougs, 23.5-point favorites, my man. They'll find out who awaits them before tip-off as the Aggies and Nebraska will have the game right before them. They'll tip at 5:20. Both games at FedEx Forum in Memphis. You pumped up for this one tonight?
Yeah, and you can, by the way, listen to all of those games, all of the local games, right, yeah, right here on Sports Radio 610 through Westwood One. Absolutely pumped for these games.
Westwood won.
Really more so, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to say I'm pumped for U of H Longwood per se as much as I'm just pumped for U of H's opportunity. I do feel like as I just look ahead at this tournament, there are probably, you know, six or seven teams that feel like they could win it all, and U of H is among them. They're certainly one of them. And so, you know, you look at the last several years that they've had, you know, I'm wearing their Final Four shirt from a few years ago. This feels like, and I could be wrong about this, but it does feel like their best chance to win it, as crowded as the field may be. So I'm just excited for their opportunity. Really funny moment outside not too long ago, about 20 minutes ago. I kind of run outside for a quick second, and one of the ladies that works in the building, mm-hmm, she's pumped for the game. She, yeah, asked me about it. She saw my U of H shirt. She knows what we do. And she's like, what do you think the Cougs are going to do today?
Destroy them.
And I'm like, ma'am, they are going to pummel these cats. Like, they're 23.5-point favorites. If they won by anything less than 20, I'd be shocked. I mean, I watched them at Fertitta Center treat the University of Texas like it was a middle school
team. Oh, that was beautiful, yeah.
I watched them later on, a couple of weeks later, treat Kansas like a both, by the way, tournament teams, treat them like a middle school team. Whatever the hell Longwood is, they best be ready.
Yeah.
It's going down.
The Kansas game made me feel a lot better about the Cougs going into the tournament because I didn't really feel like they were playing their best basketball at that point in the season like they had been in recent years. I know they've dealt with like injury issues in each of the last three, four seasons, it seems like, with some major players. And then, you know, when Juwan Roberts gets banged up the other day,
yeah,
with the shin bruise, it's like, God damn, you know. But you come, yep, to find out it's only a bruise. He could have played anyway. And Samson and the Cougs seemingly made a business decision.
Yeah, I don't want him playing it. I don't know. I have not seen what the update is. He does not need to play today. He does not have any business out there. If they can't beat, I have to put it to you like this. And sorry, Cougs, Sean, and your Coug family, which I got love for. My mother, mm-hmm, went there. I grew up here. All of that.
I know.
Cougs. I am right there with y'all. But if y'all can't beat these cats without Juwan Roberts, cancel everything I just said, and you don't deserve to be here.
I get nervous. I don't care who you play. I don't care what round you play. If you're healthy, to me, I think I'd rather have my guys playing at least until the game is, you know, controllable.
Yeah.
You've got full control. I just don't like it. And, you know, the way that you and I – we talked about it. I think we did a show a week and a half ago or something like that. You were saying, hey, just lose the Big 12 tournament. Like, rest your guys. Don't worry about it. You're one seed anyway. I mean, to some small degree, took, you know, getting to the championship game before they, yeah, ended up making said business decision. But I can never subscribe to that on the surface. I want to see all the guys playing and playing good basketball and just moving on doing what they do. Up next on the hits, this story is just going to continue to get bigger, and I think you're a fool if you don't believe it. And I feel like that is the majority right now, at least on the social media platforms. People just looking at Major League Baseball thinking that they're going to sit back on their hands and not look into this. How often does any sport. Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, get involved immediately into something while the criminal process is still taking place. And I'm talking about Shohei Ohtani in this major story involving his interpreter, who has since been fired by the LA Dodgers for his relationship with gamblers. Ohtani's bank account was observed to have moved $4.5 million to his interpreter's account to pay off a gambling debt. And now questions, and many of them are arising on the daily, minute by minute, it seems. And Major League Baseball is not doing anything about this. Are you or are you not surprised at this point?
Yeah, well, at this point, I'm not surprised, but this is just the very, very beginning.
Tip of the iceberg
type of stuff. Like, this, I am fascinated by whatever many different directions this thing could go in. And, like, I've tried to be very careful, especially, you know, on a radio platform, of not suggesting that Shohei Ohtani did this or that.
That's the easy way,
yeah,
I think.
But, and it's the right way to be. It's the easy way, but it's also the correct mm-hmm. and fair way.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much smoke around this. There's such a peculiarity to this whole thing, to where I can't shake it, man. Like, it's hard to separate or to divorce myself from the idea that this could have very easily been one of those things where they're doing this together, this whole gambling thing. And it's just like, once somebody gets caught. Now it's a theft. Now you're stealing. Now you're the fall guy. Like, it has the makings of a story like that, where they're in cahoots, but one of them is so much bigger than the other, obviously.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani we're talking about here. And so, you know, somebody's got to go down for it once somebody gets caught. But, yeah, man, I feel like Major League Baseball is smart to allow whatever legal process needs to play itself out. Anybody that is connected to a story or a potential crime should try to do their best to stay out of it until said crime is adjudicated. That's kind of standard procedure.
It seems as though, too, Major League Baseball is kind of sitting back waiting for more information to be divulged from maybe one of the two camps as well, because they seem to do a pretty good botched job with the initial story. It's like starting out is, well, I'm just trying to help a buddy out who got in some trouble, versus now, oh no, he stole my money. I feel like if you were Shohei Ohtani, and we want to give him as much credit for being a nice guy as we'd like to for being smart, the smart way to go about this would be come across as like ignorant as possible. I'm like, yeah, you know, he did something really dumb and I'm just trying to help him out. He didn't have the money. He makes good money, but he don't have $4.5 million. Just trying to take care of him. Pay his gambling debts. I'm worth $500 million. I could spare $4.5 million. That versus this guy who the only tape that exists of any of these guys is both of them in the dugout or on stages, yucking it up, laughing, having a good time, is he stole my money. He's a terrible human being. That's way less believable than the other would have been.
Well, and the energy shift from I am willing to lend you or give you $4.5 million to now I am upset that you have taken whatever X amount of millions of dollars from me.
Yeah.
That is a very drastic tempo change there.
Yeah.
Because somewhere in the middle is somebody that's willing to give you money. It seems like would you steal? And I'm not saying that this is not plausible. Some people might do this. Man, but I got a hard time believing I would steal from somebody that would loan me or give me $4.5 million. It's like, what am I? I make $300,000 to $500,000 a year, and I got a buddy who just signed a $700 million contract who's willing to give me $4.5 million.
Yeah.
Is that somebody that I steal from?
Yeah. There's subjectivity there, though,
yeah.
because
well,
they could be
could
you.
Be. Yeah.
It could be the CYA. Cover your ass, theft, usage of that word, because they might have been very close and maybe the interpreter was like, you know what, I'm in trouble. Like, these guys are coming after me. I got access. You know, I'm going to get this money real quick. Just move it over.
Yep.
I'll explain everything later.
Yep. Yep.
And Ohtani, like, whoa, like, his people, you can't do this. Like, this implicates us. There's no way. You stole the money, you know, and we're just going to cut ties. We have to do it. That's a business decision right there. This is going to be a massive, massive story. But I kind of misspoke earlier when I said that's the easy way. I thought you were going to go a different route. The easy thing to do, which is what's happening, I think people are doing, it's oh, this is Pete Rose all over again. Like, crucify this guy. It's that's too easy to kind of accuse him of doing this.
Yeah.
I think that's too easy. I think that in and of itself is this day and age for a guy like Ohtani, the position that he's in. He's the face of the sport. Everybody knows him. Even if you're not a baseball guy, you know of him.
Yeah.
There's no way he's doing something stupid like this.
Yeah.
To this degree.
That's just, but the thing is, it's just a, like, kind of going back to your easy point,
mm-hmm.
It's easy because that's a much more fun story.
Yeah.
Like the interpreter having a gambling, the interpreter of Shohei Ohtani having a gambling issue to the point to where he owes $4.5 million is interesting, but only but so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Shohei Ohtani potentially being his running mate and them gambling away his fortune. Potentially,
mm-hmm.
which is not, again, not the implication or not at least not anything that we have a reason to believe at this point. But the fact that people want to go there, it's because it's easy. It's a little lazy, but it's also way, way, way more fun of a story.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
He's Brandon Scott, Sean Bajani in for Landry and Lopez. Coming up next, should the Texans be exploring their options to move this player? We'll get it for you next. You're in the loop.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.